If you're just joining us this morning, over the last few weeks, we've been going through a set of the Psalms in our scripture time, a sermon series that I've entitled Journeying Along the Way. Again, a journey or a travel or a hike is a great metaphor for the Christian life. We have a goal that we're going towards. There are difficult turns, there are forks in the road. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we're not sure if we can take one more step. But we see that if we think of life as a journey, we realize that we have companions on the journey. We realize that we are encouraged from Scripture, from years and just generations of people who have been walking this road. And sure enough, as we come to the Psalms of Ascent, these were psalms that were written and sung and read and rehearsed in the minds of the captives of God's people in Babylon. They were read and sung and rehearsed in the minds of God's people as they returned to Jerusalem yearly for the feasts. There was a great tradition about this. And surely even on this side of eternity, on the side of the cross, as Christians, as followers of Christ, it's a song that we can sing as we journey on towards glory. The title of this sermon series, it's coming from somebody that I've been using as I study, Eugene Peterson, who writes a book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, borrowing from a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. The essential thing in heaven and earth is that there should be a long obedience in the same direction, a long run, and that's what makes life worth living. So call it discipleship or the Christian life or whatever, but we're journeying on a path. We're journeying along the way. And the Psalms are great poems, great songs to memorize, to store in your heart, to treasure, to delight in, to get you through. The Psalms, as I've said before, these are Hebrew poems, Hebrew Psalms that are written from all the emotions of the human soul. They come out of it shows a life of blessing and a life of praise. If you were to read all the Psalms, you read things like lament and woe is me. You read people questioning God and wondering why he's letting things happen this way. You're reading psalms of joy and thanksgiving and praise. The psalms are embedded with a blessing that comes to those who delight in the word of God. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, a strong tree that we can be like. And the psalms end in praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The more we read the Psalms, the more we understand the journey that is our lives, the more we can enter into this life of blessing and praise. And so in the middle, we come to this playlist. Each Psalm from 120 to 134, the first words in the Hebrew, a song of ascents, ascending, a song of ascending, a song of going up, a song of going up to up to Jerusalem, a song of going up to God's holy place, a song of going up to God. This psalm, we see, is the plea of mercy from a servant. Psalm 123, a song of ascents. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. To you I lift up my eyes, you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. This psalm is a lament. This psalm is a plea for mercy. At this point in the journey, we find the psalmist maybe in a valley or in a shadowy corner, not knowing what to do. We've had more than enough contempt, more enough scorn from the proud, from those who are at ease. Have mercy on us, Lord. In this psalm, I'm going to break it up into two halves, really. We have what we see first as the posture of a servant that we are invited to take in. And then finally, the plea of this servant. The psalm begins with a reminder that the person on the road is looking to the Lord. You might recall a few psalms ago, on Psalm 121, the psalmist says, "I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? The mountains are big in front of us. How are we ever going to get over that? That's going to be a long journey. This is going to be really tiring. How am I going to get through this struggle that I'm going through in my life right now? What am I supposed to do? I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from? I look around me in this culture, and there's so many gods, so many masters, so many things that people are giving themselves to find their identity and their fulfillment in. So many fountains that people are drinking from that are just drying up. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And here in Psalm 123, the psalmist says, "To you, Lord, I lift up my eyes, you who are enthroned in the heavens." It's an amazing reminder. We've gone from the question of where does our help come from? Who is our keeper? Who is our guardian? Where do we look? To this psalm, we've been reminded of that. We know where our help comes from. Lord, I look to you. I turn my eyes to you, Lord. You are enthroned in the heavens. To be sure, way more than just speaking about heaven as some geography or space place. The psalmists, they were not geographers or astronomers. They were theologians and poets. They speak of God's amazing presence. They speak of God as being the one who is the creator. He's the one who created everything that we can see. And we, his creatures, are loved by him and cared for by him. Where else are we to look? To you, Lord, I lift up my eyes. You are enthroned in the heavens. When we look to God, we lift our eyes. We're not looking down at God. We shouldn't. We're not looking at him. We lift our eyes to God, who made heaven and earth. He is our creator. He is our help. He is our guardian. He is the one who keeps us. And then this first verse is in the singular, but the rest of the psalm uses a plural, like the psalmist is speaking for a people, for the travelers going together, or as you and I could say, for our gathered community here, or even just our whole family of God in Christ. "Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy on us." This is a posture that we're supposed to take. It's an attitude that we're supposed to take. It's that of a servant. The metaphor here, the servants who are looking to their masters for their resources and for the good things. The word here, for the mercy of God. We're not looking to God like in fear, or like, "Lord, have mercy on us, don't." But we're looking to God for his mercy. The reason coming at the end, he says, "Our soul has had more than enough contempt and scorn of the proud, those who are at ease, those who are just at home in this world." Lord, we're being shown contempt. We're being laughed at. People don't listen to us. We're being scorned. People can't believe that we find our authority and our belief in this book called the Bible, in your holy word. People can't believe that we would give our lives to a man who died on a cross. People don't understand how we can act so exclusive in our ways. The world has nothing to do with us. We've been shown scorn and contempt. It's come from our families. It's come from within our families and even our friends. People have turned their backs on us. Lord, we look to you. Have mercy. Surely the servant is not only crying out for mercy, but they are serving. They are serving their master. It extends to their whole lives. They are servants. The posture of our lives. Let me encourage you, in our journey of faith, in our lives, take the posture of a servant. First and foremost, we are serving our Lord Christ. We are serving God. What a better way, what a better motivation for your life to serve others than knowing that you are serving the Lord Christ. Even Jesus, speaking to his disciples, looking around them, saying, I say to you, whatever you do to the least of one of these my brothers, you have done also to me. When we see those in need around us, we can take a posture of servanthood because we know that we are serving God, our Lord. That's the posture that we ought to take, that we can take with the psalmist and with one another. And sure enough, there's going to be scorn and contempt. Sure enough, it's going to be really hard at times. And so we cry out, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes that's the only thing I can say when I look around, when I read headlines, when I see things going on in society, and when I hear bad news from somebody. Sometimes I don't know what to say, but Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. We have had more than enough contempt and scorn and hate. Those who are at ease, those who are proud. Theologians talk about this being not only from the unbelieving Gentiles and the people who in that time were actually enemies, but even those who in the people of Israel who had shifted into unbelief, who were at ease, people who were at ease. People who had failed to take the journey. Those who are at ease, making their home in this world. Part of our journey is remembering that we are not at home in this world, and that we are venturing on to a better place. To be sure, Jesus invites us to find the kingdom among us, that we are gathered in his presence. And that even through our acts of love and service, we can expand that and make shalom in our place and make eternal life available to others. But still, this is not our home. We're still broken. We're still sinners. We're still in a broken world. We still see contempt and hate and scorn around us. Lord, have mercy that we don't cause that to somebody ever. The posture of a servant, the plea for mercy. Take these in, read these, and practice these in your life of faith. That's what the psalmist did. And then to be sure, in our lives, we can even remember our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Our eyes look up to you, O Lord, who are enthroned in the heavens. You are the Creator God. And yet he became a creature. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, put on skin and bone, became like you and me, who knelt down with his disciples and took a basin of water and a towel and washed his disciples' feet, who did an amazing act of service, who washed his disciples' feet and invites us to serve like him. Who talks to his disciples and says, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over people. They're proud, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ took the posture of a servant to the world. He died on a cross to make forgiveness available, to make life eternal available. He pleads for mercy. He's on the cross, and another cross away, there's a man scorning him. Oh, if you're the Son of God, take yourself down. Save yourself. Save all of us. What are you really doing? You're just a thief and a robber. And what does Jesus cry? Lord, have mercy. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. To you, Lord, I lift up my eyes, you who are enthroned in the heavens. Lord, you are Creator God, and you became a creature. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for your servanthood, and your love, and your death on the cross for us. Lord, strengthen us now, and give us attitudes of servants. May we, along with this psalmist, along with one another, may we walk a life of servanthood. May we call out to you for mercy, for you alone show us mercy. You do not give us what our sins deserve, but you give us yourself in service to love. And Lord, as we serve you, make us a blessing that we might serve our neighbors. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.